What's up, guys? Good morning. Okay, so I know we've been gone for a while and we haven't been, you know, doing our latest episodes or doing anything with this podcast, but we're so excited to be back and to have you guys listen to our platform.
What's up, guys? I'm here too.
Staria, I'm Angel. And yeah, we just have a lot of exciting things going on, but this year we figured it's the start of a new year and we want to be as up to date as possible with our doctrine lessons.
Yeah, just a reminder, this is just us going through lessons every Sunday, just the two of us. And, you know, one day we just had a thought that we should just make it a podcast episode. And so if you guys want to do your Sunday scripture study with us, then you can go ahead and join. It's just the Come Follow Me 2022. I haven't gotten used to saying that yet. And yeah, it's really just us doing our studies and just sharing our thoughts with you guys. We are not like teachers at all. I mean, Angel has served a mission. I have not. But this is just us with our genuine thoughts. And yeah.
Yeah. So go into mind with this as we're not expert. So if we do say something that you could disagree with as a doctrinal perspective, love to get your feedback. And just let us know. But for the most part, we're keeping it super simple, super basic, just what the lesson is lined out to be. And yeah, let's start this thing. Before we start, just to preference this, this is the Come Follow Me. The church came out with it so that we could have a discussion in our home and have lessons in our home with our families and be able to be on like a direct teaching path. And so this is the newest one that they just came out with, and this is for 2022's brand spanking new. So we're starting off with the January lesson, and in that lesson it's going to be,
it is in Moses chapter 1 and Abraham chapter 3, this is my work and my glory.
Yeah. And just off the back, like, I love that already. Just like, this is my work and my glory. Because the scripture is, this is my work and my glory to bring to pass the eternal glory of man. Which is just like all that God's work is to bring or help us to be able to return to live with him. Which is just so basic, so fundamental. And I love it.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess I'll head this one off today and then start and get the other one. So I'm just going to go through and read, teach the doctrine. So as children of God, we have a divine destiny. The truth revealed in Moses and Abraham's vision can have a powerful influence on our choices and our ability to overcome life challenges. How can you help members of your class discover these truths in Moses 1 and Abraham 3? One idea is to divide the class into groups and assign them group 1 of the following passage: Moses chapter 1 verse 1 to 10 and Moses chapter 1 verse 37 to 39. And then we're going to Abraham chapter 3 and then 22 to 26. Each group could look for answers to the questions such as, who am I, why am I here, and who does God want me to become? After sufficient time, the group could then share their answers. How can these answers influence our daily actions? So that's directly just reading from the book. So we're not in a classroom, obviously. So Star is going to take care of Moses chapter 1, and then I can do Abraham chapter 3, and then we can actually, after she shares Moses chapter 1, we'll just share our ideas and opinions about that, and then I'll do Abraham, and then we can share.
Okay. I know in the past we have alternated reading verses, like okay. We'll read two at a time. Do you want to do that?
Yeah, let's do that actually.
Okay, what's the first chunk?
So the first chunk is chapter 1, so just read maybe 5. And then I'll read 5, so 1 to 10. Okay. Chapter 1, verse 1 to 10.
The words of God which he spake unto Moses at a time when Moses was caught up into an exceedingly high mountain. And he saw God face to face, and he talked with him, and the glory of God was upon Moses. Therefore Moses could endure his presence. And God spake unto Moses, saying, Behold, I am the Lord God Almighty. and endless is my name, for I am without beginning of days or end of years, and is not this endless? And behold, thou art my son, wherefore look, and I will show thee the workmanship of mine hands. But not all, for my works are without end, and also my words, for they never cease. Wherefore no man can behold all my works, except he behold all my glory. And no man can behold all my glory, and afterwards remain in the flesh on the earth.
And I have a work for thee, Moses my son, and thou art in similitude of mine only begotten, and mine only begotten is and shall be the Savior, for he is full of grace and truth. But there is no God besides me, and all things are present with me, for I know them all. And now behold, this one thing I show unto thee, Moses my son, for thou art in the world, and now I show it unto thee. And it came to pass that Moses looked and beheld the world upon which he was created, and Moses beheld the world and the ends thereof. And all the children of men which are and which were created of the same, he greatly marveled and wondered. And the presence of God withdrew from Moses, and his glory was not upon Moses. And Moses was left unto himself, he fell unto the earth. And it came to pass that it was for the space of many hours before Moses did again receive his natural strength like unto man. And he said unto himself, now for the cause I know that oh for this cause I know that man is nothing, which thing I never had supposed. So
what were the questions?
Oh, there's questions. Yes, so question one, who am I? Why? And then question number two is, why am I here? Question number three is, who does God want me to become? So question one is, who am I?
Like, who am I?
So to preface the story, Moses he goes up to this mountain, basically sees God face to face, and like is talking, and God talks to him and lets him know. Then he like shows him a vision of like mankind and all it's meant to be and all it could be, I guess. And then after that, like, God leaves him and he was returned back to his body, I guess, and like just kind of plumps there because it took all the strength out of him to like withstand the power, like to be around God and to see all those vision. And it says it took him a couple of hours to regain his strength of like a natural man. And then that's when he realized he's like nothing compared to like what he could be, like what, you know, God wants of him to be. So the question goes, who am I? As like, who are you, I guess?
Like a child of God.
Yeah.
And we're here because, well, we're kind of being put to the test, you know, to make it back to him through all the crazy stuff that happens on earth and trying to stay on the straight and narrow. You know, we have that free agency, and every day we get to make that choice to follow in his footsteps and to make it back to him.
And then who does God want you to become?
I think that, honestly, I really think that God is like cheering us on every single day. No matter where you are in your life, I think that he's just right there by your side, cheering you on, whether you notice it or not. I've had moments where I truly like feel like he is right there, like, yeah, sir, you can do it, like, don't give up. And then there's other days where I really feel alone, but I just have to believe that he's still there. And I think that God is just so excited for all of us to make it back to him and to be able to live with him again. And, you know, I think that he's just excited for all of his children to be with him again and to be able to go through this crazy, beautiful life and to be able to make it to the end and experience the afterlife and be able to see the full picture, kind of like he was showing Moses. I think that he's just excited for us to be back with him.
I agree. I second everything you said about that. Like, God is really there just to cheer us on. Not just to cheer us on, but he's there cheering us on and letting us know that he's got our back. And when we don't see him or feel him, that's when we need to do our part to draw closer to him. But yeah, no, like that whole story of like Moses on the mountain and seeing it, just, and God putting prophets there to kind of direct us. Like Moses is a prophet, was a prophet, and like did his part to like direct the people. Like, it just shows how much God loves us. And the fact that we have a modern-day prophet to lead and direct us really is just him staying, like, even those times when you can't really feel him or know he's there, he's like, I've given you this prophet to let you know that I've got your back and that I can always direct you, you know? Which is awesome. Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to move into Abraham chapter 3 now, and then we'll read 37 to 39, verse 37 to 39, and then after that, 22 to 26.
Wait.
Abraham.
Verses what?
Chapter 1, verse 37 to 39.
Oh, chapter 1. Mm-hmm. Verse 37 to, what? I think you got that wrong.
Abraham, oh, sorry.
It is chapter 3.
Yeah, that's Moses. Oh, we're also supposed to read Moses chapter 1, verse 37-39. Yeah, guys, you gotta forgive me. I'm just coming back. We're just coming back into this, so we're a little rusty.
Okay, 37 to what?
37-39.
Okay, I'll just read them.
Okay.
And the Lord God spake unto Moses, saying, the heavens, they are many, and they cannot be numbered unto man, but they are numbered unto me, for they are mine. And as one earth shall pass away, and the heavens thereof, even so shall another come. And there is no end to my works, neither to my words. For behold, this is my work and my glory, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. Well, I guess
that's what,
yeah, that's what it is. Okay, and then Abraham chapter 3.
Yeah.
22 to 26. Mm-hmm. Now the Lord had shown unto me, Abraham, the intelligences that were organized before the world was, and among all these there were many of the noble and great ones. And God saw these souls, that they were good, and he stood in the midst of them, and he said, these I will make my rulers, for he stood among those that were spirits. And he saw that they were good, and he said unto me, Abraham, thou art one of them, thou wast chosen before thou was born. And there stood one among them that was like unto God, and he said unto those who were with him, we will go down, for there is space there, and we will take of these materials, and we will make an earth whereon these may dwell. And we will prove them herewith, to see if they will do all things whatsoever the Lord their God shall command them. And they who keep their first estate shall be added upon, and they who keep not their first estate shall not have glory in the same kingdom with those who keep their first estate. And they who keep their second estate shall have glory added upon their heads forever and ever. I'm not gonna lie, I don't know what I just read.
Okay, so this is what's going on. So there's a couple of things there. So I forget who's talking to who. Is it God talking to Abraham?
I think so.
And he's basically letting Abraham know, hey, you're chosen before. So Abraham is a prophet. So even before he was born, God knew what his potential would be to become a prophet and to talk to the people of the earth. And then later on in that, it talks about estates. So what's going on is you have, so Abraham sees this vision, and in it there is, he talks about one person that's kind of like God, that's coming down to create the earth and, you know, taking a certain amount of people with him. And so what that is, so it's talking about the premortal existence and how we have one third of the host of heaven that separated. There's a war in heaven, and one third separates from the group. So estates, it's your very first estate is your spiritual being, just living with Heavenly Father. The second estate is to come down to the earth. Once you come down to the earth and gain a body, that's your second estate. Mm-hmm. And then your third estate is after you pass away from this life and you leave your body, your spirit travels on. And then where that goes is your third estate. So this scripture is saying that your very first, the people that choose to not come down to the earth, the one third that left with Satan, like, they can no longer proceed past that first estate. That's it, right? They didn't sign, they didn't move past from there. And then the second estate here in this earth, this is our second estate. So what's going to happen is people that don't, you know, do the right thing, the right test, take the test the right way, I guess, because this is all a big test. What happens is they won't be able to move forward from the second estate. So that's basic, you know, as far as I know, like, you can, if that's your mistake, then the third estate is like, but the good news is we get a lot of time to fix what we do in this life, right? So the second estate is not like we're doomed, because even after Earth, you know, we're able to do more to proceed forward. Right. And so that's all, it's breaking down into estates. So it's just saying by your third estate, you know, that's when you get to, if you don't pass 1, 2, and then get to 3, you can't get to 3. If you don't pass 1 and 2. So that's all. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that was good.
Was that something that you knew before? Or?
Nope, I had no idea what a state meant.
Yeah. No, it's tricky because it's like, oh, freak. The only reason I knew that because I had to, on my mission, we talked about it.
Yeah, it's really good that you went on a mission because there's a lot of things. You guys will see that a lot of things I just don't know. And I think it's because I stepped away from the church at a very crucial point in learning a lot of things. And so I honestly a lot of times feel really insecure about the things that I don't understand because, you know, people that aren't members will ask me questions and, like, I don't fully know how to answer them. And I usually just kind of rely on the spirit to help me answer. But I love when Angel's with me when people are asking questions about the church, because just because he went on a mission, like, he can really, like, give a more, like, gospel-centered answer rather than just me where I'm just like, this is just what I think.
And I feel like that's the boat that a lot of people are in, like my mom, my sister, like, I feel like most people know the Book of Mormon, know the church is true, know the very basics. But once you start going into Abraham and Moses, like, it gets deeper knowledge. So, like, this whole year is going to be very, like, deeper. Like, it's going to be deeper because we're covering now, like, the Pearl of Great Price. Wait, this isn't the Pearl of Great Price, right? Yeah, so, like, this stuff is more of intense. And so, if you guys don't know much about what we talk about, this is a great platform to be on, especially this year, because we don't know a whole lot, and so we're breaking it down as we go with you guys. So
cool.
All right, so the next part we'll move forward is it's going to be Moses chapter 1 verse 12 to 23. But before we read that, I'm gonna read what the manual says. We can resist Satan's influence. Moses' confirmation with Satan, found in Moses chapter 1, verse 12 to 23, holds lessons that could help your class members as they face temptations or deceptions from the adversary. What can we learn from Moses' response? The video, I Am a Son of God, from churchofjesuschrist.org, can help class members discuss one of Satan's tactics tempting us to doubt our spiritual experience. It might be meaningful if class members shared ideas and encouragement to help each other detect the resist Satan's efforts.
Nice. So verses, we're going back to Moses chapter 1 verses 12 through 23.
I love this, by the way. This is probably one of my favorites. Scriptures.
Really? Okay. Do you want me to read, like, 5 again, and then you read the rest?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And it came to pass that when Moses had said these words, behold, Satan came tempting him, saying, Moses, son of man, worship me. And it came to pass that Moses looked upon Satan and said, who art thou? For behold, I am a son of God in the similitude of his only begotten, and where is thy glory that I should worship thee? For behold, I could not look upon God except his glory should come upon me. and I were transfigured before him, but I can look upon thee and the natural man. Is it not so, surely? Blessed be the name of my God, for his spirit hath not altogether withdrawn from me, or else where is thy glory? For it is darkness unto me. And I can judge between thee and God, for God said unto me, Worship man, for him only shalt thou serve. Get thee hence, Satan, deceive me not, for God said unto me, Thou art after the similitude of mine only begotten. Until 23.
And he also gave me commandments, which he called me out of the burning bush, saying, Call upon God and the name of mine only begotten, and worship me. And again, Moses said, I will not cease to call upon God. I have other things to inquire of him, for this glory has been upon me. Wherefore, I can judge between him and thee. Depart hence, Satan. And now when Moses had said these words, Satan cried out with a loud voice and ranted upon the earth, and commanded, saying, I am the only begotten, worship me. And it came to pass that Moses began to fear exceedingly, as he began to fear, he saw the bitterness of hell. Nevertheless, calling upon God, he received strength, and he commanded, saying, Depart from me, Satan, for this one God only will I worship, which is the God of glory. And now Satan began to tremble, and the earth shook, and Moses received strength and called upon God, saying, In the name of the only begotten, depart hence, Satan. And it came to pass that Satan cried out with a loud voice, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and he departed hence, even from the presence of Moses, and he beheld him not. And now of this thing Moses bore record, but because of wickedness it is not had, because of wickedness it is not had among the children of men.
Other questions?
So let's see here. What can we learn from Moses' response to that there?
And also share ideas and encouragement to help each other detect and resist Satan's efforts.
Yeah. So one lesson from Moses' experience is that Satan tempts us with counterfeits of God's truth and power. To help class members visualize this, you could bring to class some objects that are fake versions of other things, such as artificial plants or a baby doll. How can we tell that these are fake, right? What are some of the counterfeits Satan uses today to tempt us? How can we recognize and reject them? So just if you guys kind of tuned out from our reading, what happens is Satan's there discussing with God through the burning bush or whatnot, and then immediately after, Satan comes and tempts him and wants him to worship him instead. And say Moses is like, what the heck? No, like, I have a God. Like, I'm worshiping God. And Satan, like, demands him to worship him. And Moses, there's actually a point where Moses becomes fearful and says that he was terrified of Satan's power. But then he just remembers, like, hey, let me focus, like, on still calling out to God. And then he was recovered with strength to get through it. And so, for me personally, I do feel like there's so much temptations in the world, so much great chaos that like Satan causes, and some things you don't really know if they're wrong or right, and it just seems really hard to tell. But honestly, like, if we just ask Heavenly Father for help and strength through them, especially if you have like addictions or anything like that, those are really hard things to break on your own. But with the strength of God, like, all things are possible. We just have to remember and have faith that, like, Heavenly Father can definitely get us through these hard decisions and hard things that we encounter in this life.
Yeah, I really like how in the manual it talks about like bringing in like a baby doll and like a fake plant because, well, I've never thought about it that way, how there are a lot of things in this world that like are fake, you know, like a fake plant or like a baby doll looking like a real baby. Like that's a great way to look at it, that Satan really like does a really good job at making fake things seem like the real deal. And I think that's where he does, you know, grab a hold of a lot of people because they just start to believe what he's offering. And, you know, it takes a minute to realize like, no, this isn't real. Like this isn't God's love. This is not God that's guiding me. So I really like that little bit in the manual there.
Yeah, that's awesome. So now we're going to move on to Moses chapter 1, verse 13 to 18.
Didn't we just read that?
I feel like we did.
Yeah, I think it's just focusing.
And Moses chapter 1, 24 to 26. We read that, right?
No. Not 24 to 26.
Okay, let's read Moses chapter 1, verse 24 to 26. And while you find that, I will just read the rest of this. How can we recognize and reject them? And how Moses did this? How does the Lord help us in our efforts? So this one that you're going to read right now is just talking about how the Lord can help us in our efforts to fight off temptation.
And it came to pass that when Satan had departed from the presence of Moses, that Moses lifted up his eyes unto heaven, being filled with the Holy Ghost, which beareth record of the Father and the Son. And calling upon the name of God, he beheld his glory again, for it was upon him, and he heard a voice saying, Blessed art thou, Moses, for I, the Almighty, have chosen thee, and thou shalt be made stronger than many waters, for they shall obey the command as if thou wert God. And lo, I am with thee, even unto the end of thy days, for thou shalt deliver my people from bondage, even Israel, my chosen. So basically, God is just saying that he is there for us. You know, he's going to help protect us. He's going to give us strength that we need in times of trial, in times where Satan is trying to grab hold of us and trying to trick us. You know, what we need to do is we need to reach out to God and we need to remember that he is there for us all the time. And a lot of times it is just up to us reaching out to him, getting on our knees and praying. Even if it doesn't always have to be like a perfect prayer where you're kneeling down. You know, if you're in a situation where you don't feel safe and you're, let's say you're like in a car or you're at a party or something and you don't have space to kneel down and pray, that's okay. Just say a prayer in your head. You know, I think just having moments where you remember to reach out to God, that's when, you know, he's definitely going to be there and he's going to help give you strength to overcome Satan's powers. So let's move on to the next section. We're going to go back to Abraham chapter 3, verses 22 to 28. So Abraham chapter 3, 22 to 28. All right. So this life is our opportunity to show that we will do what God commands. So how can you help each other see their lives as an opportunity to prove their faithfulness to God's commands? You might start, So you might start by thinking about experiences when you have had to demonstrate proficiency in a skill, for example, in school, at work, or on an athletic team. You could talk about, or you could think about when you were required to do to prove yourself to, you know, in those situations. So how are these experiences similar to what is described in these chapters that we are going to read? And how are they different? How do we include Heavenly Father and the Savior in our efforts to prove ourselves? How does knowing that we are here to prove ourselves obedient affect the way we respond to life's challenges? So let's go ahead and read. We're going to first read 24 to 26, so just a couple of verses. And there stood one among them that was like unto God, and he said unto those who were with him, We will go down, for there is space there, and we will take of these materials, and we will make an earth whereon these may dwell. And we will prove them herewith to see if they will do all things whatsoever the Lord their God shall command them. And they who keep their first estate shall be added upon, and they who keep not their first estate shall not have glory in the same kingdom with those who keep their first estate. And they who keep their second estate shall have glory added upon their heads forever and ever. And then do you want to read? Oh, okay. So do you have any thoughts with those questions from reading those verses?
Not going to lie. Can we read that again?
Yeah. And there stood one among them that was like unto God, and he said unto those who were with him, we will go down, for there is space there, and we will take of these materials, and we will make an earth whereon these may dwell. And we will prove them herewith to see if they will do all things whatsoever the Lord their God shall command them. And if they who keep their first estate shall be added upon, and they who keep not their first estate shall not have glory in the same kingdom with those who keep their first estate, and they who keep their second estate shall have glory added upon their heads forever and ever.
Awesome. So, very first question is, let's see, how are they different? What's different? Oh, hold on. How are these experiences similar to what is described in Abraham 3 to the 4?
So, basically,
like the school?
How do we include Heavenly Father in the Savior and the Savior in our efforts to prove ourselves? How does knowing that we are here to prove ourselves obedient affect the way we respond to life's challenges?
Okay, that makes sense. So for me personally, like, knowing my purpose is being here, like, just helps me so much to make better decisions. Because honestly, like, if I didn't know why I was here on earth, I would be so lost. I honestly don't know if I would be the same person that I am today, just because, like, I know my purpose and I know that Heavenly Father wants me here. It's just like a giant, a lot of people don't like when you say this, but it's a giant test, you know? And, like, we left the premortal existence to come down to the earth and prove to Heavenly Father that, like, even you with temptations and things like that of life, like, we can still stay true to Him and, you know, act on our belief towards Him. Like, those are big deals. And so for me personally, knowing that I'm here to this temporarily to return to live with God again, like, it just makes me know that, like, everything that I do on this earth is not just the end all be all, you know. This is just part two of the bigger test.
Yeah, I mean, I like to just remind myself that whether I remember it or not, like, I chose to come down to earth. I chose to go through the veil and be put on earth and forget that that even happened, and to go through life's trials and try to make my way back. And so I think just that alone, I'm like, okay, well, I knew the truth before, you know, and I chose to go through this journey of making my way back to Him. And I will definitely do what I need to prove my faith to Him. The last question is, why are these truths valuable to us? So talking about, you know, how the people who chose to stay with their first estate, you know, why are these truths valuable to us?
So just the question before that is about, like, what do we learn from Abraham about the premortal existence with all of this and our first estate? And that question that Star just asked fits perfectly. What are these truths valuable? Because, like, what we learn from these scriptures is that we did live with God before in our first estate, and then everyone that's on the earth right now chose to be here and to be a part of this plan in our second estate. The ones that didn't choose here weren't able to come down to the earth anymore and do this process. So, like, the fact that you're here on the earth right now says that you once believed in God and you trust this process. And to me, like, that's super valuable to know that, like, I made the right decision once and I can do it again here on this mm-hmm. earth.
Yeah, I love that. Well, guys, we will leave that with you today. I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. I know it was diving deep, you know, it's the first lesson of 2022. They really just decided to dive deep with this. But we are excited to explore the Pearl of Great Price in the Old Testament a little bit more this year. It's been a while since I've studied this, so I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. Honestly, like, it's always really hard to bust out the scriptures and do studying, but like, every single time after we do these discussions, I'm just like, wow, I learned a lot today. Like, you know, this is really awesome. Moses and Abraham can be a little challenging, but like, they really are just basic principles that are just set in like a very hard way.
Yeah, seriously, the whole estate thing really got me.
Yeah.
Anyway, we really appreciate you guys, and we're super excited to challenge ourselves to be more consistent with this. We really are going to try to not miss a week this whole year, and I think we can do it. We just need to prioritize it, and that's a challenge for both of us, and we know that we need to work on it, is just, you know, putting this first when it comes to the Sabbath day. We need to put our scripture study first, and, you know, making sure that we're doing these lessons. So yeah, hold us to it. You know, if you follow us on Instagram, if we don't post something, you just be like, hey, where are you at?
Yeah. Love it, Viv.
All right, guys, I hope you have a great rest of your Sabbath day, great rest of your week, and that it can be on a positive side, and that you might have some good, loving experiences.
Bye.